Welcome to Praticamente Inglese. Yes, I know, not the usual intro, but no worries. Mattia will be here soon with his impeccable English. Lo so, non è l'intro normale, ma nessuna paura. Mattia sarà qui tra poco con il suo inglese impeccabile. My name is Marco Cappelli and I'm the host of Storia d'Italia, a podcast that traces the history of the peninsula starting with the late Roman Empire. Il mio nome è Marco Cappelli e sono il creatore del podcast Storia d'Italia, che ripercorre la storia della penisola a partire dal tardo impero. If you would like to trek into the desert with Julian the Apostate, or descend on the Catalonian fields with Flavius Aetius, cross the Alps with Theoderic the Great, or conquer Rome with Belisarius, why don't you try my podcast? Se vuoi attraversare il deserto con Giuliano l'Apostata, scendere con Flavio Ezio a combattere sui campi catalaunici, attraversare le Alpi con Teodorico il Grande o conquistare Roma con Belisario, beh, prova ad ascoltare il mio podcast. Lo trovi sul sito italiastoria.com o ovunque ascolti Praticamente Inglese. And now back to you, Mattia.
Thank you, Marco. That was amazing. Thank you very much. And I will be doing the same thing on your podcast as well. So you will find my intro on your last episode too. So that's great. Hi, guys, and welcome to the 38th episode of Praticamente Inglese. Today, we're going to do so many different things that we never did before. So first thing first was the intro of another fellow podcaster. We're trying to help each other to let people know about our podcasts, and that's a great thing as we are building a community of podcasters as well. Also, today I'm not going to talk too much in Italian, I think that's great because quite a few people told me, hey Mattia, why don't you speak just a little bit more in English and less in Italian? So we're going to try and we'll see how it goes. So let me know. You can write me on LinkedIn and tell me, hey, that was great. Or no, Mattia, let's get back on what we were doing before. Okay, so I'm looking for your feedback on that. But today, another great thing and another great news is that I will be doing an interview for the first time, and I'm trying to give you so much value interviewing one of the best language coach and English teacher that I know, which is Raf Cutolo. He will be with us in a few seconds. Before introducing him to you guys, I just want to remind you that we are everywhere. Praticamente Inglese is on Facebook, is on YouTube, on Patreon. Lately, we are on Clubhouse, where we organize rooms every day in our club where we just speak in English, okay? So that's great for you if you want to, you know, you want to express yourself, you want to practice English, or maybe you just want to listen. And that's a great room. So I'll look forward to see you there if you're on Clubhouse at 4 p.m. On Monday to Friday. Now, let's get started with today's episode. Welcome on board to Mr. Raf Cutolo. Hi, Raf.
Thank you so much, Mattia, for having me. It's so good to be part of Praticamente Inglese, and I am really, really excited to be here. Yes, as you were saying, I have been teaching English for a very long time now. It's about, I think, 17 or 18 years, and I have also been a teacher trainer. So I've trained teachers of English as a foreign language. So thank you so much for this.
That's great. That's great. Raf, I have to say that your accent is fantastic. You know, I know you are an Italian, but you speak as a proper British person, let's say, right?
Yes, I try my best to disguise myself. But yes, as you say, I am 100% Italian.
So you need to tell us a little bit of some tips that you can share with us to know how to get there, you know, how to pronounce as good as you are doing right now. And I will just ask you some questions and things that, you know, will be helpful for all the audience of Praticamente Inglese.
Absolutely. I'm happy to answer all the questions.
Okay. So for example, I always think, you know, what are the most common mistakes that Italians, what the Italians do when they are at work or maybe when they try to speak with someone from abroad? Do you have any suggestion, or you can share some information about it?
Of course. I mean, there are several examples of typical mistakes that Italians make when we speak English. One of them is exactly this one, because in Italian we have the verb fare, and in English we use it with both verbs to do and to make. We want to make sure that we remember that some expressions are with do and some are with make. So for example, we say to make a mistake and not to do a mistake. But that's very lexical. When it comes to pronunciation, which is the topic that we were talking about earlier, it is very interesting because we want to keep in mind that English and Italian are two different languages, of course, and because they are two different languages, they have two different sound systems. Now, that doesn't mean that Italians cannot pronounce the English sounds. That doesn't mean that the English people cannot pronounce the Italian sounds, but it means that we have to get used to pronouncing things in a different way. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
A lot of people, especially when it comes to business, they will say words like management and performance, and they will shift the stress onto a different syllable. So I hear a lot of Italians say management, or I hear a lot of people say performance. That's an example of how shifting the stress of the word from one syllable to the other gives us a little bit of a more natural native flow or a native sound. So we'll say management, performance. Right. So management on the first syllable, performance on the second syllable, for example. Other examples that I can think of is a lot of people say LinkedIn, which drives me crazy.
Yeah, you're right.
And it should be LinkedIn with a T sound, like table. If you think about it as LinkedIn and you put it together, it makes much more sense. LinkedIn, LinkedIn, LinkedIn. And another one that I really, really love is PayPal. And I really would like to meet this Paul who pays for everyone, because I have no idea who this guy is. It's not PayPal, unfortunately, but it's PayPal. Pal. Pal is another word in English to say friend. PayPal.
Right. And can I ask you something, Raf? Because when I used to live in London, you know, I remember always, you know, mind the gap between the train and the platform, you know, in the underground. So yep. The gap, a lot of Italians, they say the gap. What would you say in terms of this particular term?
Right. So when it comes to that sound, it's a sound that is pronounced as a. That a sound is a little bit wider than our e sound. So let me get a little bit more into the specifics. And if I'm going on for too long, please do cut me.
Go ahead.
In Italian, we have seven vowel sounds. A, E, I, I, O, O, U. That's it.
Right.
That's all we have in Italian. This sound, A, for the English words like gap, black, apple, fashion, it's not like E in bello, for example. It's much wider, but it's not even a as in ballo. So if you take the word ballo and the word bello, okay,
yeah,
you want to put it somewhere in there, somewhere in between. So yeah, it would sound something like ballo, which clearly in Italian is pretty funny and it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But you don't want to say gap. You don't want to say gap. You want to say gap, gap, a.
Right. It's more an A. No, it's more an A. Right,
it's more towards,
than
it's more towards the ah, but it's very, very wide. Ah, ah. Think of a baby that is crying. Ah, ah. That's the sound. If you want to practice, if this is a tip for everyone who's listening to us right now, if you guys want to practice, make sure that you mimic a baby crying. Ah, like that.
Right. I remember someone said to me that about the H as well. You know, when you need to pronounce an H, is like when you're trying to clean your glass, no? And you do on the lenses, right?
Absolutely. And we want to keep in mind that if there is an H in first position in an English word, which means the first letter, that's always aspired except for four cases. There are only four words in which the H is silent. And obviously the words that are either compound or that come from these words. And they are our, honor, honest, air. And a good way to remember this is an hour of honor for the honest air. Un'ora d'onore per l'onesto erede. And wow. If you remember these four words, then you all of the words that come from these words, of course, they are also, the H is also silent. So you would say an honorable person, you would say an honest man, and so on and so forth.
Right. That makes sense to me. What about, you know, we were talking about login, email, survey.
Yes, this is something that really, it's a bit of a pet peeve of mine. Sometimes when we use Italian words when we use English words in Italian, of course we need to give them a gender, because in Italian we have genere maschile and genere femminile. And I don't, normally the rule would state that you translate the word into Italian, and even if you keep it in English, you give it the gender that it has in Italian. But for some reason, some people say la login, which to me makes absolutely no sense, instead of il login. But even more so, when I read or hear un'email molto lungo. So when people use email as masculine, and I feel that there are some words that in Italian should be feminine, because email is a lettera and therefore it's femminile. Therefore, yeah. In email, you would write it with an apostrophe, and obviously you would want all the adjectives to be feminine. Il survey to me is il sondaggio. I know some people maybe think of it as l'inchiesta. I don't know, but to me, la survey really makes no sense. But I suppose this is just me being a little bit touchy on this issue. It's not really a problem at all. All of the people who are listening to us today, it's just to make them aware that there is actually a rule, and the rule is, keep the gender as it would have in Italian. And of course, it depends on the translation. Some translations in Italian will be feminine. Some translations in Italian would be masculine, of course.
Yeah, definitely. No, thanks. That's really great. And no worries. What about, you know, we are all in smart working, which is actually, I was just saying this before as well. You know, it's more about remote working, right? Or working from home, right? What we are doing right now during the pandemic.
Absolutely, Mattia. In the UK, we would never say smart working. There's nothing smart about it, to be fair, especially because in British English, smart doesn't mean clever like in American English, but smart means elegant. So there is absolutely nothing smart about smart working. I know we're all working in our very comfy clothes and stuff. So we would say working remotely, or remote work or working from home. Absolutely.
Yeah. Working from home is very popular.
Absolutely. And there's another word that Italians use an English word that they use to actually mean something else. And that word is location, mm-hmm. to say venue. So if you are talking about a place, like let's say, for example, abbiamo trovato una bellissima location per l'evento.
Uh-huh.
That's not that what you mean is a venue, not a location. Location is where the venue is. Okay. So that's another one that I find every time I hear it, I find it a little bit funny, but you know.
Yeah,
in the end, as long as we understand each other, that's all great.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think those are very great suggestions to our audience, because maybe they are in the same position, no? And say, yeah, that's the location, not it's the venue. But, you know, what else can you share? Do you have any other examples or things that you're listening to, you know, when you listen to Italians, and what kind of suggestion would you add on top?
I would like to say, I think the very important thing to say here is not so much the way that Italians speak English, because of course all the native speakers that we find ourselves speaking to, they will know that we're not native speakers, and they will be much, you know, they will be very open to understanding and try and make sure that the communication really works. It's more when the native speakers speak to us that I want everyone to make sure that they understand what is being said and what is being meant. And sometimes, as you were saying at the beginning, I am I'm very fond of, you know, accents and pronunciation, and it's something that I really, really love. But I know that some people still speak with a very strong Italian accent, and that's fine. If you have a thick or if you have a very peculiar accent, that's absolutely fine. As long as having that particular accent or not pronouncing those sounds correctly doesn't hinder communication. So if it doesn't hinder communication, if it doesn't stop the communication...
What do you mean by hinder?
Hinder, I mean, if it doesn't stop the communication from flowing. Right. So if people still understand what everyone is saying, that's great. And I want to stress this, it doesn't only happen with people who are not native speakers. Right. It happens with people who come from different regions in Great Britain, for example, whose variety of English, which in linguistics we call diatopic variety, which means the variety of a language that is spoken in a different place. So, for example, for English, it would be American English, British English, Scottish English, Welsh English, Australian English, and so on. Sometimes because you're used to different, you're not used to the different sound systems, some words just don't make sense. But for Italians, I suppose we want to make sure that we, you know, just a couple of tips.
Yeah.
Number one, you want to make sure that you master the sound th, like in think or these, think, these, simply because we don't have that sound in Italian. And so sometimes we tend to go to the next best thing, which is either f or s. These sounds are different sounds in English. And if you use that sound to replace the th sound, you might create a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
The word think is not the same word as sink, because that's clearly something else.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. Then as something else that I would like to stress is the length of vowel sounds. So we have long sounds and short sounds in English. And there's one vowel sound that always gives it away that someone's from Italy or Spain even, or France. It's normally the Roman languages that you can spot very quickly. And it's because in Italian, as well as in Spanish, for example, we only have one E sound. Okay, that's all we have. We only have one. So the E sound will always be pronounced the same. In English, we have two, if not three. So the E sound in tree, in thick, and in 20 are three different E sounds. And you want to make sure that we master that. So the 20 E sound is very similar to the Italian one. The tree is a little bit longer, whereas the one that really gives it away that we're not Italian is thick, this I, I, I sound, which is very short, and it's also the one that we find in will. So when people want to speak in the future, they will say, I will do, I will go, I will call you back, I will send you the presentation. That will, when you say will, it sounds to me, to my sort of English speaking and thinking brain, sounds to me more like wheel, like a ruota.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we say will, very short.
Right. That's great. That's a great example. And what about if, I mean, the audience of Praticamente Inglese, they are professionals mainly. So people that they are trying to improve their spoken English at work. So for example, if I'm in front of an HR, you know, doing an interview, or maybe, you know, I want to introduce myself to a foreign colleague, no? Or I want to speak with my boss, but I want to do this in English. Do you have any suggestion to share any sentences that are very useful and, you know, something that at the end of the day you can easily say and that will make you, how can I say, you know, put you in the right shape, let's say.
Yes, stick out amongst
stick out.
Yes, absolutely. First of all, it is very important to remember that when we are dealing with different people, and I'm sure you know this and all of the people that are listening to us know this as well, it is important to understand what sort of cultural background the people that we are dealing with have. So, you know, eye contact or a handshake and all of these things and the way you present yourself. This is obviously all things that we need to be very aware of, absolutely. But I think maintaining a very neutral tone of voice and being assertive in a way. And also there is something that I would want to, this is a piece of advice I would really want to give. Sometimes I hear people speaking English or Italian even sometimes, and they kind of have an ascending tone at the end of the sentence. So even if it's English or Italian, they will say something like, "Buongiorno a tutti, mi chiamo Raffaele Cutolo, ho 37 anni." And you can hear that it kind of goes up as if you were thinking about what you're saying, or if you were not convinced about the fact that that's actually your name or your age. And some people do that in English as well. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm very happy that I'm working with you on this project. And it, you know, they kind of go up. Don't, because it makes you sound like you're not convinced about what you're saying and what you're doing. Also, some sentences. So really speak very clearly and spell out what you're saying, not in a way that makes you sound like a robot, but a little bit like I'm doing now. So normally, Mattia, you've heard me speak in different on different occasions.
So many times.
I don't speak like this in a way that spells it out perfectly, but I really want our audience to understand everything we're saying. And now I sound a little bit like the CD that we used to have in our textbooks, back when we were studying English in high school or middle school. But really, if you spell it out and if you try and pronounce all the sounds in a way that, they're very clear and the person in front of you does not misunderstand you, that would be a very good thing to do. One last thing. That is a very quick and good tip that we can give all the people that are listening to us. In English, we have weak forms and strong forms of the same vowel sound. I will give you an example. If you think of a preposition, for example, from or for, right? You will find that it is pronounced from with a sound and for with all sound. But really, when these prepositions are in the middle of a sentence, this sound becomes a central sound that is So you don't say, "I'm from Italy," but you say, "I'm from Italy, from Italy." You don't say, "This presentation is for my boss," but you will say, "This presentation's for my boss, for my, for my, for my." This is a distinction between lexical words, which are words that really carry meaning, like verbs, nouns, adverbs, adjectives, and grammatical words, auxiliary verbs, conjunctions, prepositions, all of those little words that keep the sentence together. Those are normally weakened and they acquire the sound, for example. That's a very quick tip and a good way to sound more natural.
Yeah, that's great. I was thinking about it when you were saying it, and it's quite true. That's absolutely true. And absolutely. If we want to give some examples on, would you say idioms?
Yep, idioms.
So like business idioms. So I have already created an episode, long time ago, about some of those business idioms. But do you have some, examples you wanna give us? You know, I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8 examples if you have, for that can be used straight away tomorrow, during a
Absolutely.
Meeting or something like that. And then it could be great if you can just say it in English and maybe we can translate it straight away in Italian as we usually do in the podcast. So feel free to, give us a little bit more of those idioms, Raf.
Absolutely. So I'll give you an example. Before the pandemic hit, Mattia and I met at a party and Mattia and I worked together. So even if it was a party, we started talking shop. And because we see eye to eye, actually we get on like a house on fire. We started talking about the project that we had, and we thought that we wanted to tell our colleague Edward to keep him in the loop.
Right.
So let's see what these sentences mean. So to talk shop means to talk about work outside of work.
Right.
Okay. When I say that two people see eye to eye, it means that they get on very well. Another way to say that I get on very well with someone is to get on like a house on fire. To get on like a house on fire. English people are a bit obsessed with fires, even though I always say to my English friends, guys, the Fire of London was in the 17th century. A lot of time has gone by, but you're still obsessed with fire. But yes,
fire.
To get on like a house on fire. Yeah, you hear people say sometimes just like when you say how you getting on, non solo nell'idea di andare d'accordo, ma anche come sta procedendo qualche cosa.
Sì, sì,
how
sì,
you
sì.
getting on with your project? How you getting on with that? And the answer could be like a house on fire. Like a house on fire means like you're really getting on very well with it.
Quindi come una casa che sta andando a fuoco, insomma, letteralmente.
Sì, sì, però letteralmente sì, però ovviamente in italiano non ha moltissimo senso.
Certo,
quasi.
Certo.
E poi ho detto to
you
keep
said
someone in the loop.
Eye to eye, occhio su occhio sarebbe.
Yes, I see eye to eye, exactly. E poi to get on like a house on fire, to talk shop, e poi ho detto anche to keep someone in the loop. To keep someone in the loop, come si può immaginare, è tenere qualcuno all'interno del cerchio, ma nel senso di tenerlo aggiornato.
Certo, certo, certo.
Exactly.
And then, you know, I remember as well, you know, to see the bigger picture, right? When
Absolutely.
You want to see the bigger picture, let's see the bigger picture.
Yes, so for example, when you're talking to someone who maybe gets fixated on a small detail and they really get stuck and they don't want to, sort of back down in a negotiation on something small, then you say, yes, but you need to see the bigger picture. So to see the bigger picture means to have a broader perspective or a sort of a wider visual of what yep. is going on. So keep into account several elements and not just this particular thing.
Okay, so what else?
Yeah, and then
I'm very curious.
There's another one that I really like, which is to beat about the bush or to beat around the bush, which translates very well with menare il can per l'aia.
Okay.
There's no dog and there's no aia, but really it means to just go around in circles instead of getting to the point.
Right.
So, you know, when people talk about stuff without ever
ci girano intorno, no? Quando qualcuno ci gira intorno.
Exactly.
Okay.
Girarci intorno, esattamente. And then there's I suppose we could just sort of end this with another one that I really enjoy, which is every cloud has a silver lining. Normally the English people, the English will just say, you know, every cloud, and they won't say the whole thing, but mm-hmm. every cloud stands for every cloud has a silver lining, which means every negative situation has a positive aspect in a way.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's great. I think I was just thinking, no? Let's start doing an interview with someone. Let's bring someone in the podcast. I never did an interview before. You need to know, Raf. So you are the very first guest of...
I am honored.
Yeah, you're honored.
I'm honored. Yes, honored.
And my idea behind it is like, okay, I'm not an English teacher myself. I'm just a guy who lived in London for 6 years. And I'm trying to give help, to give some sort of things to my crowd, to my audience, to, you know, a little bit more level up their English in the workplace. That's the idea behind the podcast. But now I'm trying to, you know, step up a little bit, you know, and with you, I think we managed to do that because you gave us so many tips, Raf. And thank you very much about that. Also, my audience told me, hey, Mattia, you are you're talking, you know, too much in Italian, okay? Because the format on my podcast is like, okay, I say something in English and then I translate it straight away in Italian. So with this episode is maybe 98% was in English. So I hope they will, you know, they will enjoy it in this way. So thank you very much for being with us, Raf. Can you tell us a little bit more about you, what you do, how we can find you or something like that?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mattia. First of all, I'd like to thank you very much because this has been a great opportunity for me as well. I really enjoyed it. Yes, so I started, as I said, I started out as an English teacher. I taught all levels and all ages from elementary school to university to adults, business people, you name it, I've taught it. And more recently, I have started working as the academic director of an English company, and I have started teacher training as well. So these are the main things that I do. I still do have some private students that I am coaching online as a language coach, and so yeah, that's what I do. But if the people who are listening to us now want to get in touch, they can absolutely hit me up on either LinkedIn, Raf Cutolo, or even my Instagram account, which is Raf_Cutolo.
And you're Raf with double F, right? Raf with double F.
Yes, R-A-F-F, absolutely.
Okay.
And absolutely, and you can be kept in the loop, and yeah, you can keep up with all the amazing stuff that we always come up with.
And also Raf, I can find you, I mean, the audience can find you as well on Clubhouse, because that's a little secret we have to share here, that we've met in Clubhouse, me and you, because I was doing this room called Afternoon Tea with Italians. I still do this room in the afternoon for an hour. And, you know, I'm trying to push Italians to speak English, to express themselves, to practice English. And I met you there and I was shocked by, you know, how great your pronunciation is, your accent, your English accent compared to your Italian. You know, I would never ever say that you are Italian. I would say that you are a native speaker, you know.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh. A lot of native speakers actually say that as well. And then I go, no, but I'm actually Italian. I mean, they're like, what do you mean? that's exactly what I mean. I'm Italian. But yes, we met on Clubhouse. So if you want to hit me up on Clubhouse as well, I try to attend your room, Mattia, you know, every afternoon at 4:00. So if you guys are on Clubhouse, please, you know, make sure you join us every afternoon at 4 p.m. Italian time, and we can.
Yeah, and also, you know that I have created also this club called Praticamente Inglese. So I really would like to give the chance to, you know, to other people to also open their own room. The only rule in Praticamente Inglese club is just that you need to speak English. That's it. You can talk about everything, but the most important thing that you speak in English. Thank you, Raf, for being with us today. It was a great pleasure to have you here on the Praticamente Inglese. Guys, what else? Remember to subscribe on your favorite platform, to share the podcast with your friends. If you want to leave a review, you can do so on Apple Podcasts if you use an iPhone. And, you know, you can tell me what you think about the podcast, if this is bringing you value. Also, we have a website, which is praticamenteinglese.it. Also, if you want to meet me twice a month, you can become a supporter of the podcast. You can go on patreon.com/ Mattia Morelli, and so you can support my project. And also, I will meet you a couple of times a month on a conference call. Thank you again, Raf, for being with us. Also, guys, I wish you a great week ahead. I'll see you in the next episode, and thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mattia. Bye-bye.